All right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm sorry you're all muted already. So any questions at the end? I hope it'll be clear. I'll try my best. We will. Okay, here we go. Okay, hi. All right. So as I said, it's page 30 in the blue Ari. In the art scroll, it's page 58. Or you just listen. And we are doing the Psukei Dezimra, that section of davening, which is the section, as we explained last week, what we consider the second rung of the ladder as we're coming, climbing closer to Hashem, full of praises and song. That's what literally the translation of Zimra. I just want to show you one, I'll just share the screen for 1 minute, show you one, just very quick, three lines in the Shulchan Aruch, just show you something cute. Okay, so this is from Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, actually, from the abridged Shulchan Aruch, and gives us the halachas, the laws of davening. And here he says clearly, he says, okay, he talks about the men that they should hold the two front tzitzis and say Baruch Sha'amar while standing. That's something important for us to know also. Baruch Sha'amar preferably should be said standing. Now, if a person has a problem standing, that they can sit at any point in davening. But if a person doesn't, then this is one point in davening that we should be standing. It is the bracha, as we said, which begins the whole section. And then he says, and very, very, okay, and then he says, and upon completing Mehulal Batishbachis, which is at the end of Baruch Sha'amar, you kiss the tzitzis and you release them. But the part that I want to show you here, he says that the entire Psukei Dezimra should be said calmly, as he says, benachas, calmly, ubinneima, and pleasantly, and veloy bimerutza, and not hurried, unhurried, in a very unhurried manner. So these are very important words. This is actually halacha, calmly, pleasantly, and in an unhurried manner. And as he says, very cute, he says, be careful of every word as if you are counting money. So pay attention to the meaning of the words, especially, and that we'll get to when we say Ashrei, we'll talk about that. That's one part of the Psukei Dezimra that it's very important for us to know the translation. But even if we don't know the translation, we should know in general what we're doing. As we said, we are saying tremendous praises of Hashem. And in our bracha, we'll stop this year, in our bracha, in Baruch Sha'amar, this is the introduction to the whole section. So it's full of words of praise without specific like what we're praising for, that we're going to get to in the Psukei Dezimra, but here we begin. So I'm sorry, it's a drop repetitive to last week. I just want to share a few, because there's a few other points that I think I might have missed, and then we're going to go back into the actual words to give it more meaning and more depth. So last time we were discussing the Psukei Dezimra, and we said that this, as we said, is the second rung of the ladder. Out of a ladder has four rungs of us climbing closer to Hashem. And as we mentioned last week, the first rung is the Maida'ani, begins with the Maida'ani, and it's the general morning brachas, and that's the part where we are acknowledging Hashem as our God. We are submitting ourselves to Hashem. That is the part almost, not, I wouldn't use the word automated, but it's not necessarily where we have insert feeling or emotion. It's more where we just say, we are ready to serve you. We are your servants, and today we will do everything we can to serve you properly. When it comes to the second rung of the ladder, which we begin with Baruch Sha'amar, we are moving to a whole different space. It's important to know that, because the entire Psukei Dezimra is meant to be said with this feeling, with this theme, and in this way. And what is this way? With emotion. And an example that's given is, what does emotion mean? Why do we have to say it with emotion? What's the difference if you praise Hashem with emotion or you don't insert any emotion into it? So it would be like, imagine, you know, sometimes when you, nowadays we have it a lot, let's say you have Siri on the thing, you know, so you have automated voice. An automated voice is very dry, very automated, and you know it. It's not very pleasant. It's actually quite annoying to listen to. Now imagine if you went to a symphony or to a concert, and somebody would sing with an automated voice. That's not a concert. You want the human being there, but what do you want? You want them to insert all of their heart and their soul into the singing of the song. And that's what we are doing in this part of davening. So it's a very important thing to be aware of. This is the part where the human comes in. We are a person and we are approaching Hashem. And as we said last time, it's a little bit with a self, not absorbed, but there is a sense of self here, because we are thanking Hashem and grateful and praising Hashem for all the things that He does for us as a human being. So we are aware of our needs, and we're aware of what we receive from Hashem, and we're full, as we say, full of emotion, and we sing with emotion, as we say. And that's why it's interesting sometimes, as I said last time, if you're on your own, yeah, it's a good thing, sing a little bit, it's okay. Even if you can't sing, sing some of the songs of Psukei Dezimra, or at least say it out loud. It just helps, and it's much more in the spirit of what it's meant to be. Okay, so just quickly, also one more point here before we move on from this, just want to see. Okay, so we did mention last week, we said that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, which was about 2,300 years ago, were the ones who authored the Baruch Shamra. As we said, part of it came from heaven, fell down on a note from heaven, but the part which begins with the bracha in the middle, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola actually authored. The part that fell from heaven, they put first. They put it as an introductory part, so it all became one big bracha, the bracha of Baruch Sha'amar. Now, we have a very big question, and this is a question that comes into the, as an introduction, as we're saying, because this is the whole section of praising Hashem. It's a big question that, no matter how much we answer it, it's a little bit difficult for us to understand. But nevertheless, it's good to deal with it. And I'll show you a few different angles of how we can look at it. This that we're saying, that we now are going to have a whole section of davening where we are going to be praising Hashem. And actually, the halacha is that we have to praise Hashem before we present Him with our requests, which will be in Shemayne Esrei. The question becomes, why do we praise God? Does God need our praises? What does this mean? I mean, God is way beyond, way infinite, and He doesn't need us at all. Not only doesn't He need us, what could our praise do? Isn't it in a way almost demeaning to God for us to be praising Him? What does it mean? So obviously there's different ways of different perspectives of how to look at it. So before we go into praise, we did mention, but just quickly, one way of looking at this is not as much praise as much as we're using the word blessed, Baruch. That's what we're using the whole time, especially in the word Baruch Sha'amar. And then in the Yishtabach, final blessing, we also use the word blessed. The concept of blessing is, as we said, that we are drawing down. So we are actually, in Hebrew we use the word Mamshich, we are drawing down all of the blessings from Hashem. We are making a conduit, so to speak, a pipeline through which all the blessings of Hashem can come through. And this is done through our praises. So we ask, and let us know that we have to understand something very actually interesting, because today, everything's always Hashgacha Pratis, tonight is Lag BaOmer, which we know is we're celebrating the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And there's actually a beautiful story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is connected to exactly this point and is used to explain this idea of the whole Psukei Dezimra and the concept of praising Hashem. The story goes that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was known to be a tremendous tzaddik. Even in his generation, he was considered way higher than everybody else, to the point that all of the righteous men of his generation, they felt that he was on a totally different level than them. We're talking about even the greatest of the great. And they even compared him to Shabbos as they are weekday. That was how they looked at him. So he was so different. He's holy. They're not, so to speak. He's on a whole different plane. What did they used to do? So there's actually one story specifically, but it says that they used to praise him constantly. They would say praises of him. And especially there was a story that there was a terrible drought in Israel and they needed rain. So they approached Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They didn't even ask him anything, it says. Rather, what did they do? They started to praise him. As soon as they started to praise him, they used to say things like, you are Shabbos, you are holy, all these things. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai started to teach a deep concept on the pasuk in Tehillim, Hine matoivu manoyim sheves achim gam yachad, right? That's one of the famous psukim in Tehillim that people sing, right? How beautiful it is when brothers sit together. And he taught a very deep concept on that. And it says when he taught Torah, Hashem started to make it rain. All of a sudden the blessing came and the rain started to fall. The question is asked, what's this concept that they praised him and that seemed to initiate a response where he started to say this Torah and that brought the rain. What is this? What's happening here? So it's explained that the concept of praise, and actually interesting, it says that it's similar to the idea that we praise Hashem before we give him a request. What's a praise? So a praise is something where we say something about somebody else, and when we're talking about true praises, when genuine, so something that somebody else has, a good quality that somebody else contains, when we verbalize it, when we announce it, we are declaring it, which means we are revealing it, we are making it obvious and public. It can be something that up until then, perhaps the person contains, but either they hide it on purpose, or even sometimes they might not be aware of it, but it can be hidden. When you praise somebody, you publicize it, you bring it out in the open. When we praise Hashem, what we are doing is Hashem contains all of the qualities. There's no question about it. He contains everything. He's complete. He's full. But not only does he contain all the qualities, but Hashem wants to give. He wants to bestow upon us all the blessings. When we initiate by praising, what we're doing is we're actually revealing and bringing out in the open all of those qualities of God that up until then could have been hidden. Why were they hidden? Because God is way beyond the world. And for Hashem to interact with the world, it's a lowering. There's no question. He has to lower himself as we would. And a good example would be if you get an example which is interesting because it's not even, it's so... Okay, I'll just give the example and then you'll see it's like we can't even compare God to that. But if you have a mathematical professor who's an expert in physics and he decides to be very kind and he walks into a high school classroom and he's going to share with the students some things on physics, for this professor, first of all, he has to go through a whole process to simplify it in his mind because he thinks in much more sophisticated and more abstract terms that would be way beyond the ability for the students to relate to. But he wants to give over some information. He wants to share something with them, something which he has, and he wants to give it to them. So here what we're saying is, in our context, we are like the students and we praise. We say, Hashem, we know you contain all these qualities of kindness and compassion and giving and creating and all the different things that you do. And when we praise Hashem, he lowers himself. He condenses himself to actually actualize all of them. They're all there, but he actualizes them and he makes them happen. And not only that, but he connects to us and we are able to receive them. So the process of praising Hashem is for our benefit. It's not for Hashem. He doesn't need it at all. It's really totally for our benefit. But what it does do is it connects Hashem to us, connects Hashem to the world, thereby drawing down and bringing all the blessings into the world. And that's why it is a prerequisite, so to speak. It is the what we do before we ask for our specific requests, we praise Hashem. And then what happens is Hashem Take is able to connect to us and make us, and an interesting term that I saw, we become relevant in his eyes. He notices us, so to speak. He says, oh, so you need this. So I will make sure to bring this down into the world and direct it to who needs it, to you, if you're the one who needs it. So this is the one perspective of the concept of praise, and that's what we are going to be doing throughout the Psukei Dezimra. Okay, so that's just one aspect. I wanted to share one other beautiful thing that I saw last week, and I know I forgot to share, that Rabbi Schwab explains also about the concept of Psukei Dezimra. And he says that that with Psukei Dezimra is the idea of, not only Psukei Dezimra, the entire davening is compared to the process as if we are entering into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Holy Temple. And we know that the Shemayna Esrei, as we said, was going into the Holy of Holies. What is the Psukei Dezimra? The Psukei Dezimra corresponds to the section of the Beis HaMikdash called the Ulam. What is the Ulam? The Ulam is what we call the large entrance hall, which takes you from the courtyard into the Heichal, which is the actual Beis HaMikdash part, where you have the menorah and all the other special vessels, where God is much more revealed. It's the much holier part. So to enter from outside in, you have to go through this large entrance hall. And he says, interesting, Rabbi Schwab says that if you look at the diagram of the Beis HaMikdash, you'll notice that this huge, it's like a portal. How it works is that it's very interesting. The way it's built is that there's a huge portal leading into this entrance hall, and there's a huge portal as you enter to the next part. And he says, this is the idea of the Baruch Sha'amar at the beginning, and then the Yishtabach at the end. What we have to picture is, as we are saying Psukei Dezimra, we are in the Ulam. Now, what's the Ulam? What's the point of being in this entrance hallway? What used to happen there was, when the Kohanim would have to serve and do all of their work in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would get themselves ready outside. But before they would actually enter into the holier part of the Beis HaMikdash, they would go through the Ulam. And while they were going through the Ulam, they would focus their mind and prepare themselves to enter the holier part. And that's what we are doing. So we are like the Kohanim at that point, where we are refocusing, trying to block everything else out, become more spiritually prepared to be able to appear in the actual palace of Hashem. So that's what this section of the davening is. One more thing, and I know we mentioned a little bit, I just want to show you, just everybody says it in a different way, but the Chafetz Chaim has a beautiful way of explaining something else that we mentioned. We mentioned last week the word Zimra. Zimra is song, but it's also Lizmar is to prune, which means to cut away. So he says, what's happening here? We are pruning, we're waging battle, as we said, against the powers of impurity, which exist as a result of all the negative things that we might have done. And he says that sometimes, unfortunately, what could happen is that if we've done negative, we all engage in some things that we shouldn't, and sometimes what could happen is they could serve as a barrier between our tefillahs, our prayers, and Hashem actually responding to them. That's a problem when we're opening up our siddur. So what do? When we happily recite these zmirais, what's happening then? We cut off these forces, and then we allow our tefillahs to actually get to God. So we are cutting away all the negativity and opening, we can picture it, we're opening up a space, clearing a pathway so that our tefillahs can actually ascend to God. And then obviously, hopefully, he will respond the way we want him to respond, or the way he's meant to respond. One more quick thing, because we mentioned this concept of praise, and I want to show you how Rabbi Schwab explains it. He says it similar to what we said, but in a different, using a little bit of a different language. And I'll read you a drop also from his thing. He says like this, that the way Hashem made the world, Hashem is full of compassion, and therefore he created the world in a way which we are actually active players in the world, because that gives us a sense of accomplishment, a sense of making a difference, a sense of mattering, right? As a person, what matters when you're a person? When you know that what you do actually accomplishes something. And we're not just robots, and we're not just receivers. Rather, we can actually do something that makes a difference. So he says, if you look at the physical world, the way the physical world works, that there's a cycle of life. Every creature lives off another. Like, here's an example: a bird eats a worm, and then in the ground, and then it leaves its dropping, which in turn fertilizes the ground, making it nourishing for other worms, right? And then again, the bird can eat the worm. So there's this constant cycle. He says, and interesting, we have this idea with our pasuk for benching. We say v'yachalta, we eat, v'savata, and we're satiated, and then we bless. So what we say is that spiritually, our blessing, Hashem, well, Hashem doesn't need our blessing, as we say, he doesn't need our praise. What happens is, when we bless, this actually activates spiritually that Hashem, he wants it. So Hashem causes more food to grow, and then we will eat again, and we will be satiated, and we will bless again. So there's a physical cycle, and there's a spiritual cycle. We initiate something down here, means we initiated either a blessing or a praise, and it activates and it draws down more blessing from Hashem, thereby giving more room for us to praise Hashem again. When we receive something good from Hashem, we praise and we thank Him, then He does more good for us, and then we praise and we thank Him. Interesting, in Kabbalistic terminology, there's a concept where it can happen in two directions. Sometimes God initiates, and sometimes we initiate. So sometimes Hashem could give us a kindness out of nowhere. We've done nothing, and all of a sudden we get this kindness, or we get this inspiration out of nowhere. But sometimes we initiate. And the truth is, the better way is for us to initiate. So we either initiate an inspiration, we initiate a good deed, whatever it may be. And that activates then a spiritual reaction where it contributes and it brings down more blessing. And then, of course, more blessing. Well, then we have more to thank Hashem for. And then it continues the cycle constantly. Why does Hashem do that? It's a real kindness, because then we literally are part, we become godly. We are part of the process by which everything is happening in the world. And he says a beautiful concept. I just want to show you something really, really beautiful. He says like this, that there's a pasuk that says, Hoyd v'hadar lefanav, glory and majesty are before him. What is glory and majesty? So the word hoyd is translated as glory, but the word can also be hod, which is echo. Very interesting. What is echo? He says like this. He says that when we say to Hashem, I love you, Hashem answers, I love you too. There's a constant echo. Whatever you do, it's not, I don't know what the right word is, but what we do is not isolated. In other words, we cannot do something. Everything we do causes something else to happen. And in this case, we're talking about something tremendously positive. So we say, I love you to Hashem. He responds, I love you too. And the response is heard by our neshama. So this is the constant dialogue that's happening. And this is what's happening when we're praising Hashem. So and that's why he says, so if, it's a very magnificent idea. He said, he shares a beautiful story that he says many years ago in Marinabad, that was in those days, people would go to, there were these special baths there, they would go, and it was like a resort place. And there were actually many righteous people who used to go there for healing things. And he says there was a person called the Benden Arav. He was a brother-in-law of the Gerer Rebbe. And somebody overheard him. He was obviously a very righteous man, and he was standing on the side, and he was obviously all inspired. And somebody overheard him saying in Yiddish, "Oy, Ribbono shel Olam, ichabdich doch azoy lib," which means, "Hashem, Master of the Universe, I love you so very, very much." And this person that overheard him said that if I would be a prophet, I'm sure I would hear the response from God, I love you too. The way that this tzaddik was saying it, you could feel almost that it was words that were coming so from his heart, and it would have elicited this tremendous response. But the idea here, as you can see, is that we initiate, we praise God, and thereby we cause God to bring more goodness, more blessings into the world, and then we have more to praise Him for. And that's also the concept with joy, which we come into in the next paragraph, we'll see next week, but we say, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha, right? Serve Hashem with God. What happens is if we serve Hashem with joy, with praising God and with singing, he says, then what happens is he gives this joy back, and then there's more joy in the world. So it's not only, obviously, we are not the only beneficiaries, and that's the beautiful thing. When a person opens up a siddur and a person davens and praises God, when he draws down blessings, it's not just for him, it's blessings to the entire world, to the people around him, and he's bringing and drawing down tremendous light. And therefore, what's beautiful is sometimes you can be inspired to daven, or you're not so inspired, but hopefully you start davening and perhaps you become inspired, and thereby you cause another person to be inspired, and they don't even know why. It's because you've drawn down more light, more blessing into the world, and that in turn elevates the entire area around you, inspiring others as well. Okay, so this is part of the whole process of what we're doing. Let's see a little bit more now inside, specifically in the words. Okay, so we're going to see it. I hope I can do it. We'll see. So Rabbi Schwab has a beautiful explanation on how the Baruch Shamar actually works with the words, and we're going to go now. See, so he says that if you look at the first few phrases, you know, we begin the first part before the blessing actually begins. The first part says, Baruch Sha'amar V'Hayah Ha'ilam, as we said last week, blessed is he who spoke and the world came into being. And he says that every time you say blessed, 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 each one is actually another inspiration based on the name of God. Now, I'm not going to explain exactly how it's connected to the name of God, and it's connected to the name of Hashem, which is the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we're going to see what each of them means. It's very beautiful because when we daven, at least even if we remember one of them, it gives us a little bit deeper insight into the words that we are saying. So first we start, Baruch Sha'amar V'Hayah Ha'ilam. He spoke and the world came into being. What does that mean? We said it last week. How did Hashem create the world? He created the world through his power of speech. Yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. We know speech communicate. That the idea of speech is, to communicate something which is inside you to somebody else. Thought is only, you're only aware. With speech, you make others aware as well. So we say that Hashem spoke and the world comes into being. So this is the concept of Baruch Shamar. Then we say Baruch Hu. What is Baruch Hu? That he is blessed, the Holy One, the Blessed One. What does it mean that he's the Blessed One? What we're saying is he's way beyond our comprehension. God is way above anything that we can possibly understand. And it's interesting because in the Psukei Dezimra, we are going to be describing different qualities of God. But we have to first understand that every quality that we describe is not the essence of God at all. It's only the way we perceive God. So it's actually quite a condensed, quite a low level of godliness that we can understand, that we can relate to, even not understand, but even relate to. But we still do it because it makes us, as we say, connected. Okay, then we say Baruch Oysa Bereishis. Number two, what is Baruch Oysa Bereishis? Oysa Bereishis is in the present tense. Because if you say Baruch Sha'amar V'Hayah Ha'ilam, that Hashem created the world something for nothing, that could be 5,700 whatever years ago he created the world something from nothing. But that was then. No, so we say, you think it was only then? He's constantly recreating. Which means to us, why is it so important for us to understand that? It means that every single morning when we wake up, and it's not just in the morning, but every single day as we're going through our day, the world is constantly a renewed world, which means that we can inspire ourselves to be in a state of wonder and in a state of wow every single day. It's like when, you know, we see children find it's so easy to excite children. They get excited sometimes because everything is new to them. And sometimes when, as we age, as we get a little bit older, it's all the same. Things become a little bit too routine and we just find it hard to inspire ourselves, to lift ourselves, and to actually notice things anymore. So here we say, if we realize that Hashem has just created the world from anew, it's a new world now. You say, oh, it's a new world. We're also a new person. And therefore, we can be re-inspired at every single moment. And then we go on and we say, Baruch Oymer V'Aise. What does Baruch Oymer V'Aise means? He speaks, he says, and he does. Which is actually the concept of Hashem's attribute of truth, absolute truth. He keeps his promises. What he says, he does. And that's what Hashem says. You want to know what my definition is, what my name is? My name is what I promise is what I do. That's what Hashem says. So this is an important one. Baruch Goyzeru Mekayim. And then based on that, we have that he decrees and he brings it into a reality. That can be also in the negative sense, meaning to say a decree is usually something, a decree, like a punishment or a consequence of something that's, you know, that he said would happen. He says, if I decree it, it's going to happen. So just know that. I am a God of consistency and I follow my word. Then number five, we say, Baruch Mirachem al Haaretz, which means blessed is he who actually has compassion on the whole earth. So we find an interesting thing. This is a general compassion, right? On the whole earth. In a minute, we'll see. I want to show you three phrases here. He says, Baruch Mirachem al Haaretz. Then he says, Baruch Mirachem al Habriyos. He has compassion on the creations. First on the earth in its entirety, and then on the creations. Let's just see. And then we say, Baruch Mishalem Sachar Toiv Lireyav. Blessed is the one who pays reward to the ones who fear him. So interesting, there's a few ways to understand what this means. What does it mean that he has compassion on the earth? He has compassion on the creations. What is this compassion? What is this, so to speak, this kindness that he has done for us? So in a general way, when we save the earth, what we're talking about is, as sometimes when you think of Eretz, land, what is the opposite of land is the sea. What's the difference, the famous difference between creatures which are on the land and creatures which are on the sea? Anything which lives in the ocean knows that it is dependent upon the water for its survival. So they know that they are not independent. They know they can't live on their own. A person or an animal which lives on land deceives themselves and thinks that they can, you know, they can sustain themselves, right? They don't need anything else to exist. They don't have to rely. And this represents the concept where the ocean represents somebody who's aware that they're dependent on God, and the land, that's somebody who thinks that they're independent, that they don't necessarily need God. What does this mean? Why is it a compassion that he created us on land? We would think that's not such a good thing. But what that does is, that's what gives room for us to have free will, free choice. That's why Hashem did it. If we would be aware constantly that Hashem is recreating us, if we would truly be aware of that, and that we are dependent on him for literally our every single breath, well, of course, we would never even have a choice to follow or not to follow what he says. But because we can deceive ourselves, therefore, there is this concept of free choice. And free choice is an interesting thing, but it is a gift given to man because it elevates and it gives us a certain level where we become almost godly in a sense. So this is Baruch Merachem Al Ha'aretz. Then we say Baruch Merachem Al Ha'briyos. What is the creatures, so to speak? So we talk about people. What is people? So we say two things. First of all, Briyos, the word that's used for people, it doesn't say Baruch Merachem Al Ha'anoshim, on people, or Al Ha'adam, on a human being. It says Briyos, which is creations. When we call a person a creation, what this means is that the only thing that he has going for him is the fact that he was created by God, so to speak. You can almost say that the only thing I could find positive is that he was created by God. God has compassion even on such a person. Even on a person who doesn't have any seemingly redeeming, amazing qualities or anything good about him, but just the fact that he was created by God already makes Hashem have compassion on him. The other thing is also that we say, Rabbi Schwab explains that this whole idea of Baruch Merachem in both of these contexts is the fact that Hashem is the ultimate good. That's what he is. He's the source of goodness, and he so much wanted to bestow good on something. That's why he created the world. He wanted a recipient that could benefit from his goodness. That's why he created us. That's why he says, Baruch Merachem Al Ha'briyos, blessed is the one who, because of his compassion and his wanting to express his compassion, he created the world. So there's a recipient for his compassion. And also, very, very beautiful, when we say Baruch Merachem Al Ha'aretz, this is also, because remember we said the Psukei Dezimra, this is the beginning of it, is actually to notice the good things that Hashem does for us and to praise him in a personal way. So when we say Baruch Merachem Al Ha'aretz, what we can think about is it's something quite amazing, and we know more now than ever before, how Hashem, when he created the world, he created a big universe. And there are many, many planets. Where do we live? We live on planet Earth. Planet Earth is in the perfect position, which is conducive for human life. We know closer to the sun, we would burn. Further from the sun, it would be too cold for us. So when we are saying Baruch Merachem Al Ha'aretz, you have compassion on the earth, Rabbi Schwab says we should have in mind this concept that Hashem created the earth in the perfect way, conducive for life, with the right gases, with the right atmosphere, in the right position, with the right seasons, and everything is done perfectly in sync so that the human being and the animals and all of life can thrive on this earth. So it's another very beautiful idea, that's Baruch Merachem Al Ha'aretz. And then we go on and we continue and we say, Baruch, as we said, Baruch Mishalem Sochar Toiv Li Reyav. So Hashem rewards all, he gives a good reward for those who fear him. So Rabbi Schwab says that's Olam Haba. We're talking about the world to come, which means an everlasting reward. It's a continuing reward. We can connect ourselves eternally to Hashem. Then we say Baruch Chai La'ad V'Kayam La'Netzach, which means that Hashem is forever. And this is when we talk about the name of Hashem, the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey, that's actually in the name, because the name Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey stands for that Hashem Hoya, Hoive, V'Yihyeh. He was, He is, and He will be. So it's the past, the present, and the future. Hashem is eternal. And when we connect to Hashem and we live a life of purpose and meaning the way He prescribes, we also live eternal life. And that's the gift that He gives us. And then we say, Baruch Poide Umatzil. What does He do? He redeems and He saves. So here, just on a simple level, what does redeem and save mean? We're talking about Hashem, just like in the Pasuk, Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, Asher Hoitzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? When Hashem gave us the Torah on Mount Sinai, what did He say? He didn't say, He didn't introduce Himself, I am Hashem, your God, who created the world. Rather, He introduced Himself, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. What does that signify? That signified his role as a redeemer, personal intervention. Hashem personally takes care of each and every one of us. And if we need to be redeemed, He redeems us. If we need to be saved, He saves us. Which means over here, when we think about Hashem not as just this big, massive creator of a big universe, rather, how Hashem relates to us as an individual in our own personal life. And how He takes an interest and He lowers Himself and He cares about every detail of our life. And when we are in trouble, He redeems us. And it's so a very beautiful thing. And oh, and just stop before we go further. Also, that we think also has, especially as Jews, how Hashem has throughout history constantly redeemed us and saved us. And we've needed it many times. We need it again now, and we need it many times. Hashem ensures the continuity of the Jewish people. If we think, we said before, Baruch Meshalim Sachar Tov Lireyav, that Hashem rewards those who fear Him, and then we say this, Baruch Paide Umatzil, right, that Hashem redeems and He saves. Why? What's the interesting thing? Because some people are the ones who fear God, right? So they're doing everything right. They're amazing. They're living exactly how Hashem prescribes, they're doing all the right things, they deserve that Hashem should reward them. But then sometimes when we look in the mirror, we think maybe we don't fit into that category. Maybe we've made mistakes, and maybe we are not considered the ones who fear God, so to speak. Maybe we don't deserve reward. Not only that, but we can even see that we've made mistakes. So that's why right away we say it's okay. Hashem cares about every individual, wherever you are spiritually. And that's why, Baruch Poide Umatzil, He will redeem you, not only physically, but spiritually. If you're not in a good space spiritually, and you're not His God, like God-fearing, so to speak, you think you might not fit into that category, it's okay. Hashem will redeem you, and He will provide you opportunity for you to be re-inspired, for you to grow and to reconnect to Him. And He will save you from anything negative that low might have caused. That's why we say afterwards, Baruch Poide Umatzil. And then the 10th one is Baruch Shemai. What is Baruch Shemai? We say according, like we bless His name. What is blessing His name? So we say that even though Hashem revealed certain aspects of His name, right? As we said now, we revealed certain ways that He's eternal, that He cares about every individual, that He involves Himself in the earth, in the creations. But nevertheless, this is only a very small part of Hashem. He only chooses certain parts of Himself which He allows us access to. And we, when we say Baruch Shemai, we announce that we are aware of that. We are only getting a very small part of you. And this is what we praise. We praise what we could. There's a passage that says, Zeh Shmi La'olam, right? This is my name forever, right? For eternity. But La'olam could also mean concealed, which means that I am beyond comprehension, right? So most of me is beyond. That's what we end off with after we've praised him with all these different things. After we've noticed all these different details, we make sure to realize, but this is just scratching the surface. We're barely getting to him. And then we continue. And I want to just show you towards the end, we also mention all the different types of praises. So let me show you, if you go further down, and then we say, as we said, the actual bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, and we sing praises to him. Oh, before, okay, just one thing also. So we sing, let me just see, Hashem Alekeinu Melech Ha'olam, right, as we said last time, that we are drawing Hashem down and all of the blessings of Hashem into the world. He is the king, the sovereign of the world. And what's the idea of a king? A king, interestingly, a king, even before he became a king, after he became a king, nothing changes about him, except that now he has a certain responsibility to his subjects, which means that he actually relates to the people who are lower than him, the people who need him. And this is what Hashem does. Hashem actually lowers himself to ensure that the world and that the human being and that each and every one of us as individuals will receive what we need. That's what Melech Ha'olam. And we say Hakel, he is the God. Hakel is the God of compassion. Ha'av, the Father, again, showing his love for us. Ha'rachaman, who has compassion. Ha'mehulal b'fe'amai, right? He is praised through the mouths. And now we have, interesting, of his nation. And then we say, Meshubachu mefayer b'lshayim chasidav v'adav. Who else praises him? His chasidim and his servants, right? So the righteous ones and his servants. And then in the songs of David, his servant, there's three levels: the nation, the general people, the simple, regular people. Then we have the people who are much higher than that. They are the people who we might categorize as chasidav and avadav. So they praise him. And then the highest level is David himself. But what we're saying here is, doesn't matter which category you fall into. Even us simple people who are just the general nation, we can praise God, and it matters. He wants us to do it. He wants us to engage, and he wants us to connect to him. But David HaMelech, obviously, is the one who can praise God in the most beautiful way, and that's why we use his songs to become our songs. And then we praise him. And now I just want to show you a few beautiful words that are used here. So we say negadelcha. So we actually use five expressions of praise. So first of all, negadelcha means we declare your greatness. We magnify you. But how could you magnify Hashem? Hashem is infinite. You can't make something infinite greater. So one thing is, we will praise certain aspects of Hashem that people might not be aware. So magnifying means, in this context, if you look at a page and the words are too small, you don't notice the detail. If you put a magnifying glass, then all of a sudden you'll see it. So that's what we're talking about, that it's all there, obviously, but now we will become aware of it. And that's the idea of magnify. And then we say negadelcha can also mean something else. Not only to magnify, to make big, but the word negadelcha can be from the word gedilim. Gedilim means intertwined. What we are about to embark on when we do the Psukei Dezimra is actually quite magnificent. We are using, and this was prescribed for us, I mean, by great tzaddikim over the generations, accumulated more and more, a combination of verses, a combination of psukim. And this combination, as we say, this intertwines into the greatest, and the words that Rabbi Schwab uses, beautiful words, bouquet. It's like a bouquet of praises for Hashem. The way that the verses are put together are significant. Obviously, a lot of them are from chapters of Tehillim. Which chapters were chosen, which comes first, which comes second, all very significant. And together we intertwine them, and this makes the greatest praise of Hashem. And this can give us a deeper relationship with Hashem. And then we say, Unishabechacha, we praise. Or the word Nishabechacha Lashbiach can actually come from the word to improve. Very interesting thing. Sometimes, we live, I mean, not sometimes, we hope that always, but it's not that way, that life is just going well, or, you know, ordinary and well, and therefore it's easy to praise Hashem, and it's easy to see and to notice what it is that we should be praising Hashem about. sometimes it doesn't, it's not so obvious, right? Sometimes we're going through hard times. And then what do we have to do? We have to improve our vision. That's what he says. In other words, and now we have to have 20/20 vision, where we have to scrutinize everything and see how gamzu l'toiva, even this is for the best. So sometimes we can see it, you know, with just a quick glance, everything is wonderful, but sometimes we have to work on our improving our perception of Hashem as being a good God. And this we do. This is what we work on. That's what we're talking. And when we say all of these words, we actually also are asking Hashem to help us in this process. That's the idea. And then Unifa Ercha, which is to glorify Hashem. Pe'er is like a crown, which means we praise Hashem and we say, you know, we know that there are so many things that are beyond our grasp, that are higher than our heads, much higher than what we can understand. We know that. We're aware of that. And we thank you and we praise you even on those things. And then we say, V'naskir Shimcha, we remember your name. Sometimes we feel in Jewish history, as a lot, like in a global sense it could be, but even in our own lives, sometimes we feel a little bit remote. Perhaps Hashem, we might use the extreme words, Hashem has forsaken us. So we have to remind ourselves that Hashem has never forsaken us. Hashem is always with us, right? Where do we see? We see a very beautiful thing in Tehillim, we say in chapter 20, the famous chapter, Eilev Arechev, right? Those people with the chariots, Ve'eilev Asusim, and those people have horses. But what do we have? Anachnu B'Shem Hashem Elekeinu Naskir. What do? We remember the name of God. So the word there that's used is Naskir. We remind ourselves. We reinforce ourselves that even though it looks like we're in danger, things don't look so good. Things look like Hashem is not revealed and that perhaps other forces and other powers seem to have some power over us. We say now with V'naskir Shimcha, we remember that Hashem has never forsaken us and that Hashem is always within us. Yesh Hashem b'kerbeinu. We reinforce our emunah. And then V'namlichecha Malkeinu, we declare you our king, which means we submit ourselves totally to your will. This is like the concept, as we say, of Kabbalah Sol. And then, and this is another beautiful thing, I just want to mention a very, very powerful idea about, we use the word Lahalel to praise Hashem, the whole idea of Halel, and we talked about drawing Hashem down, connecting, making Hashem want to give us what we want, making ourselves relevant to Him. But there's another translation of the word Halel. And you know, we know one of the greatest righteous people of all times was the great sage Hillel, right? We had Hillel and we had Shammai. And it's explained that Hillel, we always talk about Hillel being a person of tremendous kindness and compassion, a person who related to every individual, who was able to relate to everybody. What does the name Hillel mean? Same name, same word as Hallel. It comes, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, I think, Bahalo Neirei. The word comes from illuminate. Very interesting. Not just praise, but to illuminate. So when we talk about Hashem Mehulal Batishbachais, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mehulal Batishbachais, we say that through the praises, we're literally illuminating our lives, our world, the people around us. And this happens through our praising. Another way to say it, in a little bit of a slightly, it's same translation of illumination, but perhaps also we can say that not only are we drawing down, so to speak, we're opening up these big lights, you know, we're revealing godliness, but perhaps also we are reflecting the light. What does that mean? As we said before, there's a cycle. So we praise Hashem. Hashem reveals himself and makes himself more accessible and brings down tremendous blessings into the world. And then what do? We reflect back to him all the blessings that he bestows upon us. So our praise is an acknowledgement that he is the source of all of our blessings. And when we reflect those praises and those blessings back to him, as we say, immediately it initiates more blessings to come down to us. And this is the idea of this Baruch Sh'amra. I just want to see, so we've explained quite a few of the words. I just want to see one thing, because I just want to check. I missed maybe one or two other ideas that I wanted to bring, perhaps. Okay. Okay. So let's see from here. And then we'll move on to the next one. We'll just start a little bit about the next paragraph, but maybe we've covered most of it. Okay, I think that's all. So that's all. There's a tremendous amount more, but we'll leave that, the Baruch Shamar there. As we said, Baruch Shamar should be said standing. It should, once you say the Baruch Shamar, you don't speak anymore. This is called the first bracha, which begins and introduces the entire Psukei Dezimra, which concludes with Yishtabach, which means that in the ideal, a person should not interrupt. And as we mentioned, something very important to remember is that when you say Baruch Shamar, in davening, we also have to insert something else. The ideal is to insert the Ashrei. We'll talk about Ashrei perhaps, I don't know if we'll get to it next week, but the Ashrei is one of the main paragraphs of the Psukei Dezimra, and only then are you permitted to do the after bracha. So if you are unable to say one paragraph in the middle, best not to say the Baruch Shamar at all, because you can't say a first bracha and the last bracha without a middle part, as we said. It doesn't work that way. Okay, I wanted to show you. Now, in the Ashkenaz Siddur, after Baruch Shamar comes Hoidu. We're going to leave the Hoidu for now. In the Nusach Ari, Hoidu is before Baruch Shamar. It's actually interesting because that's very specific, as we, in the Nusach Ari and the Nusach Sfarad, it's not just the Nusach Ari, the Hoidu paragraph comes before, because the Hoidu paragraph has to do with the sacrifices, and they used to say some of these special psukim. These are psukim taken from mainly from Divrei Hayamim, but from different sections of Tanakh, and they were said with the Korban Tamid, and therefore in the Nusach Sfarad and the Ari it's before Baruch Shamar, so it's not considered part of the Psukei Dezimra. Kabbalistically speaking, the word Hoidu is like Moide Ani, which is the idea of acknowledging God. That's when we are, in a sense, putting ourselves aside for God, and that doesn't fit the theme of the Psukei Dezimra, but of course, in the Nusach Ashkenaz, it is part of the Psukei Dezimra. So these are also verses of praise, and very, very important ones. I'm not skipping it for any reason. We probably will go back to them, but I just want to show you one thing. If you go on to, in the Art Scroll, on page 64, and in the Nusach Ari, I think it's page 31, perhaps, it is the Mizmar of the Saida. That's the paragraph that comes after the Baruch Shamar, after the Hoidu in the Nusach Ashkenaz, and this is a beautiful paragraph. Time is almost up, so I'm not going to do justice. I just want to share with you, this is chapter 100 in Tehillim, one of the most beautiful chapters of Tehillim. We put it in immediately after Baruch Shamar. This is a chapter which tells us, as we said, the whole theme, we have to put ourselves in the mood, in the mode of joy. We should be saying, as we said, Psukei Dezimra with joy. And that's why this has the famous pasuk, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha, serve God with joy. The question is, though, this is actually a paragraph in Tehillim which was talking about a korban, which was said, and it obviously is it's directly connected to what we call the korban taida, the sacrifice of the taida offering. We'll discuss next week what that was, but that was a thanksgiving, that sacrifice. Why do we put this in here? Why isn't it with the section of the Siddur called Karbanos? So just in a nutshell, because a very beautiful thing we say, that when Mashiach will come, all of the sacrifices will be nullified, except for, it says, the sacrifice of Toida. And the same way, all of our davening will be nullified, whatever that means. And what will remain? The thanksgiving. Just the praising and the gratitude and the thanksgiving. And just in a very short way, and we'll develop it more next week, the idea is that now, unfortunately, we notice we have many needs. We do. And the truth is, we do have many needs. There are things that are lacking. There are things that are missing. We are suffering. We need to be healed. Somebody needs parnasa. There are many things that we are. And also, we notice what we need more. when Mashiach will come, everything will be there, right? It will be the perfect time. And therefore, we will feel so overwhelmed with gratitude that the only thing that will come out of our mouths are words of praise and words of gratitude. Therefore, this is not just a concept of a karban. This is a whole theme of how we should refocus now as we are almost, as we say, the time of Mashiach. We should try to refocus, as we said, to look a little bit deeper. And even though we do have many needs, it's true, and we can't minimize them, and everybody should have what they need, but we should also refocus and notice all of the incredible gifts, all the kindnesses, all the compassion, all the kindnesses that Hashem is constantly showing us, and the way that Hashem is saving us. We mentioned Poide Umatzil. He saves us from things that we're not even aware of. We go through life and we don't even know that we were in danger. Thank God we're not aware, and Hashem saves us. So if we could sort of shift a little focus, even just a drop, and start to notice more the good things, that's Mizmar L'Saida, and then we serve Hashem with true joy, and then the rest of the Psukei Dezimra can actually be sang with true joy. I'm going to stop here, and next week in Mirza Hashem, we'll do it much more in depth, the idea, what it means, and why it's part of davening, why it's so much part. And I will, don't worry, we will in Mirza Hashem do the Haidu as well. Just wanted to, okay.